Blog Talk Radio.
Kind of just looking at some things dealing with what led us to here.
Before we move to that, I just want to kind of a topic that I know my co-host on the format didn't see, but we just want to take a little minute or two to talk about the historical black colleges. At this time of the year, they're about to make changes in coaches or a suggestion of making possible changes in coaches on all levels. However, what I want to do is kind of look at our historical black colleges and for about 5 to 10 minutes talking about what's going on. And I'll take our local schools in the state of Alabama. And I know Coach Edwards being up in North Alabama, and then I know Darryl E. down here. We share thoughts, you hear things, and I'm here. We're going to talk about Alabama State, but the topic is open to everybody. In regards to, we'll first start off with Alabama State University. It is dear to my heart. It's dear to Darryl, and it's dear to Coach Edwards as well. He grew up in the area, so he knows of Alabama State. Every sport found that either changed and have been successful in the last 2 or 3 years. Also, a change was made in football recently. The only places that have been any change made. What do y'all feel about, and it's just your opinion. This is your opinion, co-host, as well as the callers. You can call in and talk about it. What do you feel about a possible change at Alabama State University? And y'all can just jump in and chime in. And I want to kind of put some stuff out there like the record. The record for this past year for our men's team at Alabama State was 8-23. And then for the girl and for the women's team, it was like 10-22. Is that acceptable? And I want us to share some thought about it. And what I'm going to do, Darryl, I'm going to jump over to Coach Edwards and let Coach Edwards share some thoughts about that first, then we'll jump back to you, Darryl. You can share your thought in regards to that. Okay, Coach Edwards?
All right, you know, since I've been born, all I've known was the Jacksons at Alabama State. You know, being a little kid, my Uncle Lowe taking me to the games, my dad taking me to the games. You know, all I seen was Lua Jackson and Freda Jackson. So as far as, you know, the coaching aspect of the game, I think it's there, and I don't think it's the coaching aspect. I think they just need some new faces in there, because as we know, they both can get the job done. They both have got the job done consecutively more than one time. So this year, I think it was a lack of talent. So therefore, their records doesn't speak on what they have done for Alabama State in the past and in the future. Now, from what I saw, they haven't had a real bad season, because I haven't seen worse at Alabama A&M University. If the change is coming, I think it will shock the school, really shock the school as far as my generation, because that's all I know. Now, I know y'all a little older than me. Y'all seen different coaches come in and whatnot. But to me, I think it will shock that school with a coaching change right now, and especially both sports, men and women.
That's great.
I think that, I can go back, and I refer back to basketball, Charlotte, but I remember the legacy of Houston Markham. And it was, for me, on a personal level, when Houston Markham walked away from Alabama State football, something changed for me at Alabama State football. When Coach Lewis Jackson, an absolute icon to me. I'm speaking from a personal level. And my man is right. It would be a shock to the school. And the talent level was not there this year. I did my own studying, and I looked at it from over the last course of the last 4 years of the talent that has come through there, how well they performed over a course of a few years. So the trend is downward. But do you attribute that to coaching, or do you attribute that to recruiting, or do you just attribute that into, you know, the changes of how basketball is becoming, you know, where the students are going, how they're recruited, and where they're going to school? Can you get the better players? I think that would be a tragic mistake But you know sooner or later it's coming, everybody. Everybody knows it's coming sooner or later. Nothing is forever. But I think they run this course and they stay at another year before they make any changes at LMC University to the basketball coaching staff. That's what I think, Coach.
And exactly what you're saying, both Coach Edwards and Coach of the Airway, Darrell E., always would be that. It would be a shock, a travesty to have that to happen. But we also have to remember that change sometimes is not all as bad, except when it happened in the beginning. I think we really got to be realistic and realize that things can get old. Everybody in the forum, we'll use a couple things that was said by the co-host about talent. They recruit their talent. They got to be a tribute for the talent not being successful because they recruit those individuals. And whatever's causing them not to get the talent that they need to compete better than 8-23 for the men or 10-21 for the women, I think you got to accept some of the blame. Now, if the administration have made changes in all other areas, we can go back to football. Think about football with Coach Jenkins. Coach Jenkins came winning MEAC championship. He got to Alabama State. He just didn't pan out like he's supposed to. So a change was made in the middle of the year, and we're not saying the change is going to be the answer coming up in 2018-19 or whatever the length of this young man contract is, Coach Ely, but it was a change. And we know when the change happened was good for ASU football because it happened in the middle of the season. So why not consider that? I'm not advocating that. I don't have no more information about that than anybody in regards to basketball, but I do know change is good sometimes. So I'll leave my thoughts in regards to that at that point because we just want to kind of share some thought and see how, you know, you as a listener may feel. So you have an opportunity to call in 347-857-4192. And we was talking about Alabama State, but in regards to Alabama A&M, Coach Edwards, can you just – is anything we can kind of attribute to their where they are in their program, where some of the fans, as you stated in the last show, for the classic on the hardwood up in Huntsville, the crowd came, but the crowd really wasn't there. But Coach Edwards, can you kind of share some thoughts on that?
I'm going to touch some thoughts on what you just said, too, about the recruiting. That's part of the problem we're having right now at Alabama A&M. I don't know if y'all know it or not. It's hard to get a good basketball player in the SWAC if you are a mediocre school. And I'm going to say mediocre is everyone beside the top-tier schools that's in the SWAC. That's the Texas Southern, the Gramblings, and Southern. In every sport right now, well, I'm going to say in basketball, I'm going to just stay with basketball right now. Those three schools will be loaded every year. Every year. Every year in basketball. I don't know what it is. They get the top-tier talent coming from Division One, and so on. Like, I've never seen the recruits they are getting as far as and watching them play. Gramblings and Texas Southern this year, they was in a league of their own. And like you said about the records, I only can judge what they do in the SWAC. I can't judge anything outside of the SWAC. Texas Southern was a prime example of that. They were 0-13 before the SWAC play started. So they weren't concerned about their record. But right now at Alabama A&M, We're running problems with our APR right now, and we are also running into problems with getting top-tier athletes. So for Coach Morris right now, I think he has at least 2 or 3 years if he's around that long to turn the program around. Because right now I don't see the athletes. Just like at Alabama State, I don't see the top tier athletes. And y'all team was better than ours. I'm gonna say that. But I don't see the top tier athletes in there enough to where I can say this coach isn't doing a good enough job and the program is going down. I can't see that with Alabama State. And as long as y'all keeping people in the seats like y'all do, I don't see what's the point of the move. That's a big thing to me about that. People come to see the Jacksons coach. Y'all have a nice route. Now, it's not as thick as it used to be, but it's still a nice route at Alabama State. Now, Dr. Smith, you came up to Alabama A&M, and that was the hardwood classic. Now, on a regular game, I went to a regular game, I probably seen 150 folks.
Ooh.
At the game.
Mm. Well, that's something to consider and think about, because our athletic program needs meat in the seat, as we said all through, the MEAT in the seat. And if we can't put them in the seat throughout the year, then we're going to always have financial problems trying to operate an athletic program specifically dealing with basketball. So just to kind of add to this, not having the talent, and we'll try to tie in what Texas Southern did also with being 0-13. Now, is it a benefit to the conference? And I'm asking this question. Is it a benefit to the conference that everybody, like, we'll take Alabama State, Alabama A&M, to go out and play those schedules where, in the end, it still does nothing for them? Now, it did something for Texas Southern, or it did something for Pine Bluff, or it did something for Grambling. But with ASU playing those games, is it really all about selling your pride at some case in some level just to make and get a few dollars? Is it any other approach? And we had talked about putting people in the seats, getting sponsorship in previous shows. But I want to know, by being 0-13, yeah, you made it through the first round, or made it to the first round. But is that good for teams and records? Is that good for students or players? You know, they may not be high-level players, but if they win, they will play at a higher level. But they lose 13 games, or they lose 10 games, or they 8 in the conference, they 8 in whatever, 8 and 21 overall. You know, is that a plus? That's my concern. And I just want us to kind of take about 2 or 3 minutes and talk about it, if you would, in regards to whether it's worth selling our kids just to make a few dollars, or we just pretty much like we talked about slavery, or we just selling them just to get the bucks. Is there a better way to do it? If it is, and some other conference doing it, let's try to find out what's going on there. But just we'll get a few minutes of discussion on that.
Go ahead, Darryl.
Come on with it, Trey.
Okay, I'm going to say this in that situation. You have to play those almost. You have to play those money games in the SWAC. I don't know no SWAC school that has prolonged from not playing the money games. We look at, the top-tier teams, like I say Southern, they are a school that travels very well to away games. Probably 2 or 3 years ago, they was talking about they was going bankrupt and so the school about to shut down or whatnot. So I really think they need that money to go in the general fund of the school, because in the SWAC, there is no basketball account. It's everything is going to a general fund in the SWAC schools. That comes from football. I'm gonna go back to football season. Football season, when we get these hundreds and thousands to go out and play the Auburns and the Georgia Techs, that comes from that. The general fund of the school is what functions all sports. Basketball, not so far as, but football, every SWAC school usually runs the whole athletic. I'm going to say that looking at A&M right now, like everything goes into a general fund, but I know we have baseball games they don't even charge you to go into. We have soccer games they don't charge you to go into. We have tennis games they don't charge you to go into. So, therefore, your football and some of your basketball funds the school to me. That funds the school. And if you do not play those money games, I think you put yourself in a big hole because you're spending out more than you're bringing in.
Let me piggyback on that if you don't mind.
Okay.
You know, that's two ways. It's twofold to look at it. You know, what my man says is making sense. You know, in fact, everything he says to me makes sense. But, you know, we have to look at how things are structured. And if it's not structured right, then you're going to fall into these traps where you're having to play these games. And if the school's priorities, you know, are where they are, and sports falls into its sports category, football falls to where it does, tennis, baseball, basketball, all falls where it does, and it all relies on, and I'm speaking HBCUs, relies on the football program to fund it in some kind of way, then perhaps we need to look at structure to perhaps get away from initially the question was, is playing these money games and piggybacking off of the kids and slavery and all these things we're talking about. But again, if we had a packed stadium and a packed basketball arena every game at Alabama State University or any HBCU, would we need that? So support comes in from the community. This all goes back to when we talked about this 9 months ago, that if the community were more involved with these schools and supporting them by buying these tickets and filling up these arenas at home games, that I don't think the money games would be necessary at all. In fact, I think it would be an absolute change in the program if local communities supported HBCUs in that manner. That's what I have to offer today. Coach, back to you.
Darren, awesome. We got our other co-host in here, Coach Tony Stallworth. He's on the line. Coach Stallworth, he can say hello to everybody and jump in the conversation. We're talking about the Alabama States and the Alabama A&M and possibly coaching change and possibly getting funding in. You can jump in. Coach Stallworth, how you doing, sir?
I am, my brother. You know, I kind of slip. I'm on spring break. I'm like the teenagers and the college students. Sometimes we just look one way. I forgot about the show, but I stopped and found me a spot to share with my brother. Let me just say this. You know, the HBCU universities are talent prior to coaches even being hired. They are talent because of the criteria that they're putting under. They're under the same umbrella as the large universities. And I'm going to tell you this now, and it may not sound good, but it's factual. If I had a son or daughter that could play at the Division I level and elite, and if my child had an opportunity to go between Alabama State University or Duke or North Carolina or even Arkansas or in Auburn, I would consider that because of the transition from that program to further venues in that student athlete or my child's future. So with that being said, if it puts the coach, whoever the coach is, I would hate to have that job. I wouldn't even take the job in a bad situation. Now, let me go back to what I heard earlier about the Texas Southern and all the other universities that are in the high market areas. Those student athletes were all recruited probably by larger schools in Southern, larger schools in Texas Southern, but in those same areas, those Division I schools ain't nothing but a step down. If you look at Alabama A&M and Alabama State University, we're competing with two universities, that's Alabama and Auburn. And with both of those, we're talking football, so those kids are not going to look at us. They don't go the way. It's a hard fix. I don't have the answer. I'm kind of like my boss man telling me, don't blame the questions, blame the solution. I don't have the solution, but I know it's a hard situation. And for any individual that's in a college right now, and if it's a fire coach, that's fine. When you hire one, he's going to have to be high market. Can he bring anybody in? It's going to be an open door and closed door policy. We got to find a way to environmentally get our kids to stay at home in our community. Even in my job, I see our kids leaving and going away. I can't question it because the choices they make have been very successful. But that puts a bearing on recruitment, you know. Now, the other topic that I heard earlier was about making money for the university. And there you said it with a mouthful. You got to support all of the programs. And whatever program that can go out and make those type of funding because of the low financial equity that are in our programs, that's how most of the coaches are allowing themselves to make 5 to 10 years. It ain't about their winning records. I hate to say it. It's about what can you do for our program. Now, when you make that change, be prepared to financially support the change. Because our coaches in HBCU are not making the same salaries that the coaches are making at the other level. We're getting there closely, and it's not justifiable because the revenue is not being put in those programs to justify it. But it's not a just the coach. Yeah, I'm like you, Dr. Smith. It goes back and reflects the coach, and we'll give him credit if he wins. And we're going to put it on him if he loses. But in between, you know, it is a tough situation in HBCU, especially in the sport of basketball. Because it don't take a 5 to 10 to get there. It don't take but a 5 to 10 to say, I ain't coming. And yeah, Texas right. Southern, I look at Texas Southern roster. Texas Southern roster is a summation of kids that have been somewhere else and come back. I want to say University doesn't have that.
Preach.
I mean, it's the truth. I don't call it like I see it. I'm talking like I see it. And in all due respect, change needs to be made. But if you're going to make the change, it has to be justifiable. And you got to support it. If not, you might as well keep what you got. Because you're going to get the same result. And, you know, it's a tough call. And I think anybody that chooses to, and that's why so many universities depend on alumni. Because those alumni are committed. And they're loyal.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think when you sit down and talk to those individuals and let them know, look, we need to make a change and justify it, they're going to agree. Same as hell to them to not be successful. Mm-hmm. Nobody want to keep coaching and being mad and 25 and 2 and 15 and 3 and 6 in 2 years. Nobody wants that. That's humiliating. I've been successful coaching because even when I lost 5 games a year, a season, it was hard for me because the level was so high. So I understand. So we have to look at the whole picture, you know, and understand that, hey, yes, a change needs to be made. But when you make that change, university, when you make that call, show us now that's justifiable. That's my point on that. And I'm going to stay side of the road. I'm not cranked up until we get through this show. But I love what I'm hearing tonight.
All right. Okay, let's make sure we get our call-in number out there to our listener. That's 347-857-4192. So if you want to add to the conversation, we talked about historical black college and university, and that's what Talking Sports Plus is all about. But let's change gears and get to March Madness Fantastic Four. One of the first areas I want us to look at is how would you describe and characterize this 2018 March Madness from day one up until where we are at this point?
Unique and real.
Go ahead.
I just want to say three words: unique and real.
That's all right, Dale. That's all right. All right.
I want to say parity. I think what we have now is, and we talked about this last week too, is believe. The word believe. Achieve is the next word. Opportunity starts it all. And what you have now is these universities and these student athletes, if they're not one and done, these smaller schools, think about it now. If you go and look at those rosters, other than the Kentuckys and Dukes and all them, they're all gone too, with one and done. Most of those rosters, especially Villanova, are set with sophomores, juniors, and some seniors. And that's why they're so consistent, even Kansas, consistent when going year in, year out from being long-lasting in the tournament. The one-and-done situation has caused athletes to a certain extent, because let me tell you something. When an athlete plays 30-some games in the league and get to the tournament, I'll be honest with you. It is what it is. They're thinking the other limelight right now because they're not coming back anyway. So what it all brings down to it, if you look at it, all those rosters with the elite teams in particular, all of Marymount. How many one and done came out of Lower Marymount? You check every one of those rosters that are all four teams that are in now, those are sophomores, juniors, and seniors. And that's the way it should be, because what it does is it values the sport. It gives you an opportunity to see basketball at the highest level, not at just a level, and those kids move on, and some of them successful, some of them are not, and some of them could, and some of them are just as good to move on. But it's back to what basketball is and supposed to be. Student athletes playing out their tenure. There's nothing more than 3 years. That's the way I see it.
All right. And let me just kind of add a little bit to that. And as both, like I say, unique, as Coach Darrell said, and Coach Stallworth said, it's all about maturity and having maturity to get. So I describe and characterize this tournament as being the way basketball should be. Whenever we do get a team and they have five phenom on it, they're only going to stay 1 year. It's sort of like 1 year they're there and they're competitive. But what catches up with them is those teams with those sophomores, juniors, and one or two seniors. It comes down to what Kansas got that. It comes down to Villanova. It comes down to that. Kentucky sort of like began to look like more like a two and done. Look like those players now realizing when they all left and one and done, 3 or 4 years ago, now they are not considering in such a hurry to get out of there in mass 4 and 5 numbers. So having that, so I characterize it as it's a very special tournament, the tournament where the team in the mid-majors had an opportunity to be successful and go to the Final Four, so that gives everybody hope. So that's the way I look at it. Coach Edwards, you want to add a little bit to that?
Yes, sir. I wanted to touch on that. You know, when we first started this talk of the tournament, we all said the team that's going to be there at the end would be an old team. You know, we discussed old teams. Old team is a team with a lot of maturity, like Coach Stallworth said. When I look at this year's teams, the teams with the youth, as far as, you know, the Kentuckys and the one and done, people don't understand, only 60 people, roughly, I'm going to say 60, but it's a little up under that because we're not counting the people from overseas. So I say probably about 45 to 50 people will get drafted. It's probably 45 at the most. When that happens, they usually find other ways, like the Baller Brand Man trying to do, and send people overseas to make money. And also send people to the G League to make money. But as we're looking at this tournament right here, the longevity is in the program by how many years you're giving your life to that school. These one-and-done teams are usually going to be done. And I'm going to tell you this, one university that used to be and always have old teams, Duke, I think they're on their way to be one-and-done university. Because they're getting a lot of top-tier athletes, and it's very out of character. Like, Coach K has been way out of character as far as his recruiting and his style of play. I have never seen Duke play zone like they did this year. I have never seen them play zone like that, and I have never seen him recruit for the top players. I have never seen that out of Coach K. He's way out of character right now. So I'm trying to figure that out.
No, I agree with you, Coach. I agree, and he's doing it because he's challenged with that in order to stay in that market with the Kansas, the Kentuckys, Michigans, and all of those schools. He's challenged with that, and I'm gonna be honest with you. And here's the word of Kentucky. I'm gonna say this. Coach K would say, "Listen, all right, you're here for 1 year, but you've got to be gone next year because I got five more to get spots." Can you imagine? Yeah,
exactly.
Being told that.
Exactly. And I wonder. Go ahead, Coach Dr. Smith. Go ahead, Dr. Smith.
Okay, and just to add that a little bit, because when you're talking about Coach K in his upcoming year, you know, the number one, number two, number three, and number 10 player out of the country all coming to Duke, where in the past that used to be Kentucky. So
Kentucky.
It's amazing. Coach K has been around so long, but I heard him say something when he was asked a question. They asked Coach K, how you manage to relate to the young players, and you old enough to be some of them granddaddy. He said, because I listen to them. Now I think that's
right.
Coming from the players. We got to get some players in there that play at that high level. So Jeff Capel went out and he recruited 1, 2, 3, and 10, giving them. So Coach K is one of those coaches willing to change, but he also let's forget. Now he's going to keep in his normal juniors and sophomores to kind of balance that team off a little bit. So that, you know, I think he's working it both ways. He's changing with time. But our call in number is 347-857-4192. Give us a call. We want to hear what you have to say. See several people on the line. And, you know, if you got any thoughts, share your thoughts. Just press 1. I'll identify you with your last 4 digits of your telephone cell number. And then you can identify who you are and where you're located, and join in the conversation. Coach Evers, you want to finish up what you were saying on that thought?
That's all I had, Coach Smith. I'm going to tell you another thing about that recruiting with Coach Calipari. It's like he's hating on Coach K now that Coach K has reversed the roles. He's like, how is he getting all those people? And no one ever questioned him. Now, the top-tier coaches, like, you know, we have four-year coaches. You have Roy Williams, North Carolina. He's looking for four-year players.
That's right.
Coach K was a four-year player coach. West Virginia has a lot of four-year players.
That's right.
Xavier, a lot of four-year players. Villanova has a lot of four-year players. All these teams will get down to the end, and somebody going to be there. It don't matter who it is. Now, Michigan is an old team. People not realizing that. These are old teams. This Loyola team is an old team. They've been playing together for a minute. So, the freshman team, and I'm not looking for that top recruit. That's me as coaching on that level. I'm not looking for that. I'm trying to get somebody that I can get in and develop. And that would make a longevity of my coaching career, because I would be going deep. But as long as you keep getting them one and done, you're going to kill that school off, man. It's going to kill them off every year. But that's all I got, Coach Smith.
All right, then. Let's kind of change gears again, and we're going to kind of look at the biggest storyline of the second week of the NCAA basketball tournament. And I want each one of the co-hosts to share what they consider to be the biggest storyline. Now, the first time we did the storyline, the first week, was talking about Loyola from Chicago making it past the first round. That was a talk from the Pac-10 being eliminated, which they was, and then there was some other thought in there. Let's look at that same thought today after the second week. What would be the biggest storyline? What is the biggest storyline at this point with the NCAA basketball tournament?
I'll go back to what Coach Okay, I go back to what Coach just said. Coach said it very justifiably. The Loyola Marymounts with the rosters that are made up for tournament, and Michigan, which nobody said anything about because they don't have those top-tier players on there, whereas those players are top-tier, but they are not singled out because they're not what you call the five-star, whatever the damn five-star means. I ain't figured that out yet. They all can play.
Yeah.
What happens is that the development process now is coming back into play. And it's like I said earlier, those kids that are in the other programs like Duke, look at North Carolina. That's awful where they went down. I hope nobody leave that team, you know, other than the guard he's seeing. Because I'm telling you, they went from boom, bam, out of here and see you later. But,
out of here.
And Texas A&M hit them, and they went out too. And Texas A&M, so to speak, let's talk about it a little bit. That program and that team, and Dr. Smith, the two of us talked about, you know, I hit you every now and then with some thought process, was made for tournament, but it had so much turmoil going through suspensions and injuries and this and that, and then you get them back and you kill it. You got to reinvent the chemistry that was developed going in. And I think the makeup of teams now that are in the tournament are those that don't have injuries. Think about injuries as part of it. Got kids that are there to go the whole nine yards. That's what you got with Loyola Marymount and Michigan. Versus the number one seeds that are left like Kansas and Villanova. So I think it's one of the best, I think, balanced to worth watching in the NCAA Final Four in a long time. I really do, because it's interesting to see how this is really going to play out.
All right,
Coach. All right, Daryl E. All right, Coach. You know, Tony Stallworth always does impress me because he is fluent in the game of basketball and fluent in sports, period. But,
paid a lot of bills.
You sure paid a lot of bills with that. But in my story at this juncture, is at what point do we call Michigan a basketball school? At what point do we do that? Now, let's just talk. Just follow me for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Michigan, the football program has not won a title since, what, 97. They haven't won a Big Ten title since 04. But Michigan basketball, they won the Big Ten regular season title, 2012 and 2014. They won the Big Ten tournament title, 2017-18. And then now in the Final Four, you know, making a run they were back in the Final Four, getting to the national title in 13, and they made the Elite Eight in 14, and Sweet 16 in 17. So when do and look at Michigan now. Now, if you go back with me, when we said this, what's your team? I told y'all. Everybody like, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. I told y'all Michigan was on the show.
Get it in.
So for me, that's my story this week.
Daryl, I cannot argue. He's very highly intelligent and sensitive. He's not gonna challenge you unless he got his doubt.
That's all right.
And it's data justify what I said as well, because even at that, they are programmatic. That's the word. They're programmatic, where they see things being the long run. And they're looking back and saying, we don't want to challenge Duke and Kentucky for those 10 five-star players that are there in Louisville, those five-star. We're going to get the other players that are just as equitable that's going to stay with us, what, 4 years?
Four years,
to me, is a lot more than – four is greater than one.
Let me give the call-in number again. That's 347-857-4192. We have several listeners on the line that call in. And if you want to share in this conversation, press 1, and I'll identify you with the last four digits of your telephone number, and then I'll ask you to identify yourself and your location. So if you want to join us, this is a very spirited conversation about the Final Fantastic Four in regards to the March Madness, the NCAA tournament. We're going to kind of move to the next topic, which is in regards to Loyola Chicago. Good for them being in this Fantastic Four. Is it good for March Madness that a team, a mid-major team, Loyola Chicago, to be on this run? And I want us to take some time and talk about that for a minute.
Well, Chicago, in that area there, between Michigan and Chicago, that is a high market of recruitment. And that's a made-up program. And Daryl said it, or one of our coaches said it before, you know, some of these are hidden agendas where, okay, we better not get it done now. We're going to figure out what they're doing. Like boxers, you know, counterpunch. And, Laura, you talking Chicago. I mean, hey, Kings, you know, you got some of the best players that ever hit the court come out of the area of Chicago. And that market is so big, and so those kids are looking for somewhere to go and to play, you know, and to stay. Because if they cannot get into the Michigans and Michigan State, you know, so all that's on the same, then they're going to go to schools like that we're going to give them an opportunity. Because, hey, look, coach, we're coming in, we're going to give you 3 to 4 years. And it's really, really, it's changing the whole brand. And, you know, You feel good about sitting down and watching a game and knowing that it's going to be competitive, and sit down and say, you know, well, Duke going to win. They always win. You know, Kansas going to win. They always win. But guess what? They're there now. So we're going to have to watch and see what. That's right. We're going to have to watch and see what the non-one-and-done is going to do. And I think that you got to look at it. Those players that are on those rosters going to be very successful in the NBA, because the NBA now are looking for committed players that's going to give them that type of run in that league. And I hate to say this, they come a little bit more, a lot less expensive, because most of them are not going to be first round.
Nope.
But you can get them, and they're going to come in, and they're going to play the hard out for you, because they're going to come out of successful programs now, because they're coming out of Final Fours now. So it's a change at the Blues Singer Fair. A change is on the way. Right there?
Absolutely, Coach.
Yes. Coach Edwards, you were going to jump in there, Coach Edwards.
Yeah, seen a meme the other day. It was they had David Ruffin on the meme, and they were comparing David Ruffin to the top tier teams that are in the Final Four. And they said, you know, in the movie where David Ruffin said, "Ain't nobody coming to see you, Otis." That's what they were saying about Loyola. So they're saying the top tier teams looking at Loyola like, ain't nobody coming to see y'all play. But watching Loyola in this tournament gives a different kind of respect to the game. As I watch those kids, they look unathletic. They all finish up under the rim, every one of them. Just to watch them blow by these five, like Coach Starworth said, these five-star athletes, just watching these two and three stars blow by them guys and laying the ball up on the other side of the rim. It's amazing, because I'm looking at it like, this is impossible. Like, it got to be read the way they're running around these guys. But they get into the rack when they want to, and they get everything they want to, every play they want. So right now, I'm a Loyola fan. I like, it's great basketball. It's what I want my kids to do. And, you know, I look at, you know, Kentucky, and I look at the way they ended that game. They really exposed their coach right there.
That's right.
Like, the Eskimos that Calipari drew up for that last play was awful.
That's right.
But Loyola is exposing a lot of schools, and like I said in the beginning, and we all said it, the team with the most experience, the most mature team, will come through in this tournament. Same way with Kansas. you know, Kansas got old jokers up on the go. And, like, they got old. See, people don't realize this about Kansas. The guard that is that scored all the points was a transfer from Mississippi State. The guy that scored all them points. He's an old guard. He's been there for a minute.
Right.
This is probably his third year in college. And he took over that game at the end
When he got there, the coach put him on the bench because he didn't want to come.
Yes, sir. Doghouse.
That's right.
But
exactly.
I'm really cheering for the underdog in this. You know, I'm going to say this. I pick your Loyola to beat Miami as far as the first game, but I never knew they would make it this far. I never knew. I mean, and watching them play, I'm talking about it's seen so far as they got a shooter that's going to shoot the ball regardless. Number 14 for them, it don't matter if you closing out in his face or whatever. He's shooting in your face and
that's
still hitting the shot. I mean, it's unreal the way these guys are playing. And you know, the question we're going to ask is, when is it going to run out? Because we've seen it before. We've seen the Butlers make it this far. We've seen Davidson make it this far. When is it going to run out? That's the question. When is it going to run out? That's all I got, Dr. Smith.
Okay. All right, again, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. And if you're on the line now and you want to add with the conversation, press 1. And I identify the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I ask you to identify who you are and your location. And then we can talk and add with the conversation. All right, the next thing we want to kind of look at is all the discussion about the one and done. But before we go there, let's take a step back. Looking at the 2018 Women March Madness, we have not talked about that, haven't been much talk, but the games are going on. At this point, any observation from the co-host on the Women's March Madness? Is there any storyline you may have from the Women's March Madness?
It's a train coming. That train right there, he just said, coming through. That train right there, he just said. That's a train.
You come.
That's all we got on that. That's it. That's all we got on that.
Gino got stopped last year by the SEC, Mississippi State, and then South Carolina went on to win it all.
Exactly.
So they came in destined to make sure that does not happen again.
when I watched them play the reigning champion, that's no more.
Mm-hmm.
That was from last year. They was up 35-40 points. And I was just shaking my head like, wow, this team is really rolling. But it is what it is. When you do have some the best players in the country and you've been winning 8 out of 10 years, then there's nothing new to them. Every one of those kids can experience some form of championship. And every year that seniors want to beat the do better than the seniors before them. So that's how that's going with those women. So that's University of Connecticut. Like I said, the train is coming. All right, let me get to the thought I had before we change to this in regards to there's a proposal for the incoming freshman basketball players who want to participate in college. It's the proposal of 2 or none rule. And explaining that is you enroll, you have to stay there 2 years, or you can go straight from high school to the NBA. What's our thought on that, the 2 and none rule?
I think a two and none rule is in place because you have that superior athlete like the Kevin Garnett and LeBron James and Kobe Bryant that are rarities that comes out every now and then. So now you have a place to put them in and give them an opportunity to put themselves in position to make that decision. Now, you're not going to have over 10 to 15 players like that. And what it also does is it gives college basketball an opportunity to take a one-and-done kid, student-athlete that does not decide to go that route, an opportunity to go through the developmental process and help their team, and we get a chance to see them, and they may go beyond the 2 years because they're not ready. So I think it's a lot better than just a one and done. I really do. I kind of like that. Now, I like to see kids play 4 years, but I'm going to tell you something now. It's a lot of revenue out there, and I'm going to go back to that word y'all use. We use week four last, that will get them out of slavery much quicker.
Exactly.
And it's called money.
Money. The green money.
I agree with you guys with that situation right there. But I really think they need to look at it as far as I would have the same rule in place for football too. Like, you know, at football they got to go 3. I'm a firm believer in that. You know, with basketball, I feel like it ought to be the same way. As far as the game of basketball now, it has changed so much. You know, back in the day, you used to be able to slide a guy in because he's 7 foot. Right now, that's not a fact. You have to have a skill set in the NBA right now. Yeah, I mean, you got to be able to shoot almost. A lot of these guys are making jumps that I look at, like, if you're barely playing in college and you're looking at the upside of you in high school, I feel like you're making the wrong choice. Like, we look at Harry Giles last year for Duke. You average 2 points a game for Duke, but you ready for the NBA. That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand, like, who is giving him this information where he thinks he's ready. But a lot of guys make that jump, like you said, Coach Stallworth, because they're trying to get out of slavery that quick, you know, looking at their revenue.
Maybe that financial advisor that's giving them $20,000 and $30,000 is making that decision for them. How about that?
Exactly.
They put the message again in there.
Exactly.
But
But
I feel like I think they should go and stay, because I'm looking at it as far as me as an NBA recruiter. I'm not looking for these young guys because you're still going to be three and 4 years out of development. I'm looking at Brandon Ingram like that for the Lakers. I mean, he came out of college. He was hooping, throwing shots up everywhere. He in the NBA, he's a work in progress. I mean, if I'm going to do that, I might as well get a guy that's Jalen Brunson for Villanova right now. That's already polished and ready to go. I mean, Damian Lillard, he was ready to go when he hit the NBA. He was ready to go. But this development stuff, I can't do it. I'm not picking them guys. As far as drafting, inexperienced guard, nah, I'm going to just wait and get me an old Joe and deal with.
Well, another thing that helps the NBA in their monetary decision is you got to come in on that minimum. And after 3 years, you become negotiable to get into the free agent market. But 3 years don't be tagged on you, you know, unless you come in as a first round and get what you call guaranteed money. So, you know, they got something in place to protect themselves against your failure or your development. You know, so it is what it is. You may think you're ready, and they may think you're ready, but 3 years will show whether you are or you're not. And that's something that they got in place that really helps them when it comes to salary.
Yeah. And that just you know, just letting us see that proposal might be the best proposal. That's 2 or none rule, or will they continue with that one and done? And just from our discussion, the 2 and none rule sounds a lot better because it allows the young man to develop and grow. Well, all right. The next topic we want to talk about is dealing with spring football. And I just want to get your thought. The first week of spring training for the national champion, University of Alabama, their one half star quarterback injured his hand on the first day of spring practice. The injury to his hand opened the door for now Jalen Hurts to maybe become a star quarterback in the fall. and just kind of add to that, look at the strength and weakness of those two quarterbacks to kind of see, and we want to kind of discuss that, whether it be possible that both of them will be playing for that team in 2018 at quarterback that have certain kind of things in place, situation for each one of them. But I do want us to talk about, did that open the door with the suffering of that injury on the first day of spring training? And I want us to jump in, co-host.
Well, I think injuries is a part of the game. I think most prominent universities recruit with that in mind. Having two is better than having one and three more that's what? Not even been proven.
Exactly.
And right. And what it does is it really doesn't put a whole lot of pressure on your program when you are, should I say it, like in the Wild Wild West, got a lot of horses in the state.
What it does is
it gives those stars that came in as five-star, which is at the University of Alabama and Kentucky, they load up. Mm-hmm. And it really pays you not to get injured. But one man's loss is another man's gain.
Mm-hmm.
So what it does is it makes the coaches fulfill their visionary, should I say, report going in saying, listen, even though this is who we want, what are we going to do if this does not work? I mean, football coaches have to think like they don't quite think like in my sport, basketball. They think, okay, but this may not be because of the injury. And some injuries happen, catastrophic and so untimely until you have to be prepared. So I think University of Alabama is prepared to move forward. And will be, because what they do is, or any school or university, since we're talking about University of Alabama, because everything is not just necessarily built on the quarterback. It's built on the process and the program. Whatever quarterback gets under the center has to understand the process and the program. If he does, then the program becomes successful. They don't even recruit. Or don't even keep you. If you don't understand the process, like a couple of years, like last year when those quarterbacks got out of there, it's because they could not no longer fit in the process. Not that they were not qualified, they just simply couldn't fit. So it's going to work itself out because injuries in football is a part of the game. And in big programs, it's just, hey, we got to move forward.
And you're so right. Let me just give that call in number, 347-857-4192, and our web link, and I'm going to give it a little slower so we make sure everybody get it. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/LAlbertoSmithProduction. You can click on that and you can hear the show, those individuals that's trying to hear the show and may be running into some problems. Coach Edwards, you want to add to that thought in regards to Jalen Hurd and Tonga Tagovailoa, about to get it.
Let's just call him Tua. With me, my thought process was it hurts Tua in a sense. As far as him trying to dethrone, because it's still Jalen Hurts' job. I'm not gonna take it from him. It's up to Tua to dethrone him off that drive. So if he got hurt and had to be out the spring, he was setting himself back. Now, as we saw, he got hurt. He had surgery. He was at practice the next day. So he knows the severity of this spring as far as his stay at Alabama. If he gets the job done, he will be the starter. But like we're saying, if he has a setback with a finger, thumb, they say both of them was broke, his index finger and his thumb. So I don't know what they were doing. I don't know what running back then grabbed his whole hand like that and broke it. But
Jalen Friend.
but it's Jalen Hurts' job to lose. So as far as Tua getting hurt in the first practice, it sets Tua back. And as far as I'm going to talk in a sense with that too, I see Nick Saban is benching a lot of guys this spring as far as not doing their study group, not doing their work in school, not showing up in class. And Saban got a real strict system. If you don't do what I tell you to do as far as your schoolwork and getting to your study halls and stuff, you will not play for Alabama. We have a linebacker, Vidarius Cowell. He's sitting out right now because he chose not to go to study hall, not to go to class. But he's showing up at practice on time. So Saban had to numb him down. So that's what's going on in my head right there with Alabama.
Hey, Coach.
Go ahead on there.
Okay, quickly. I'll just make this quickly. All right, so Tua, Jalen, Parker McCloud, Alec Morris, Tyree. All right, those are your first, second, third string, fourth string quarterbacks for Alabama right now. So, all right, Jalen Hurts, it's his job to lose. Everybody agree with me?
Yes.
Agreed.
Okay. And Tua. Okay, but the reality
it wasn't Tua damn job in the beginning. So
let me finish my 10-second thought, Tony Stallworth. So the reality is the national championship game, Tua came in after Jalen brought him all that way. Tua came in and finished the job. Everybody agrees with me.
Yeah, agree.
Okay. All right, so I was hoping for a two-dimensional quarterback system this year with Tua and Jalen Hurts because it seemed, in the national championship game, it seemed to confuse the other team. They did not see that coming. And consequently, Alabama won the game. That's just my theory. Tony Stallworth will blow it up with a stick of dynamite. Go, Tony.
Oh, yeah, he will. But Coach, let me jump in there.
Tony, there, I'm 100% in agreement with you. And my other co-host came and made a statement as if it was Jalen Hurts that was competing for the job. Oh, no. Saban is way too intelligent to go that route. Oh, by no, he's not going to allow one situation to justify what an individual has done and committed to be done in the last 2 or 3 years being at that university. But it would have set the stage for, as Darryl would say, set the stage for something to give everybody that's going to be in competition with Alabama. Now, how are we going to prepare for whichever quarterback that hits on the field all in one game? So it wasn't an advantage.
Exactly.
But it was Jalen Hurts' job anyway. I'm through with that one now.
Okay, let me kind of jump in right now. I always thought that, but I was talking heads and pundits are saying that it's a tour opportunity to be Heisman Trophy winner, and Jalen going to have to transfer. I don't think that's the way a process worked. I don't think that was even told to Tua when he came there, that he knew he had to wait his time, but that's all right. But one thing I wanted to say when I talked about both strength and weakness of those quarterbacks, and I say one strength for Jalen Hurts that we have to totally agree with, and it's all in the video games because, you know, Tremaine may know about it and people may know about video games. You take a football game, the NCAA, football, and they have things you can do. You can make them stronger, bigger, faster. And one thing that's so important in that game is durability. Jalen Hurts has played 28 games for the University of Alabama, and 8 had to sit down unless they sit him down. So I will take a man that's durability, can't throw the ball like Tua throw it, because I know he don't get hurt, to take a man on the first day of spring and get his finger hurt. Work with me.
Hold on. Let me cut in right there. It's gonna deal with productivity. If it doesn't look good, they will be poor. That's point blank. I mean, you saw that in the last three games with the championship game. I was calling for the pool as far as Mississippi State game. I felt like if we had that little energy bundle, it wouldn't have been close. And we go into, you know, the Auburn game rolling. The Auburn game, it needed a pull. It was just all about a burst. It's about how your team is built. And if he can't make the throws, I mean, he got to go. That's point blank, because I'm going to tell y'all this about Tua. And, you know, we looking at, you know, the amount of games Jalen won and stuff. But as far as the athleticism is in Tua too now. Now, I can see him running the ball too now, as far as not as, you know, like a Jalen Hurts, but I think he got enough speed to make an impact on the game with his leg.
But Trey,
let me get on this a little bit here. You don't think you don't think there was enough impact already in the game before he even hit the field? Coach, he was in the best situation of a lifetime to come in the field and have two halves to do something victorious. I'm telling you, that's all good. But I'm going to tell you something. It's just like I was told one time about a basketball player that had one good season and caught every coach in his scout report by surprise. You know what happened next year? Hell, they got the scout report now. And every strength that you have, they're going to find a way to take it away. But Alabama program is so complex and so structured that it protects everybody under the center. I mean, I've seen a bunch of average quarterbacks under the center at Alabama that have won national championship and can't even make it in the pros. Now, y'all got to do that.
And this is the key right here, there, Coach Stallworth. The key, they're average, but they can make those throws. Every quarterback before Jalen Hurts could make those throws. That's point blank.
But
if you can't make the throw, and it goes,
So we going back and thinking all Alabama success because Jalen cannot make those throws.
He can't make the throws.
Hey,
when you stop the run, what else can we do?
Hey, Coach, but let me say that. Who say he can't make the throws? Everybody keeps saying that. But you can't say he can't make his throws because he hasn't been put
he don't throw it.
To make his throws. He hasn't been able to make the throws because he hasn't been asked to make the throws. Now you got to give him a chance to make the throws. You can't say because he's trying not to lose the game.
If you never ran the offensive coordinator away from there and ran his ass to Florida, he'll call a name now. I don't like my name, like calling names on the app.
Yeah.
You know what's up? You wouldn't have to worry about Jay. Jalen might have been gone because he had one step from getting out of there. But you know, Nick don't care anything about a whole lot of throw. He's a run type coach now, but he's smart enough to know that's why he went and got that same offensive coordinator we talk about now to come in his program for that reason in order to compete to have the throw in place. But he don't care anything about that. He like to spread offense as long as the run is still in place. So I'm telling you now, that quarterback for Alabama is Jalen Hurts. Now, two, he's going to be all right. But he's going to win his chance. He can't let me say this. He cannot get his chance at the expense of somebody else building it for him. I'm done.
Tony Stallworth.
Yes.
I want to hear what Dr. Smith had to say.
Okay. Say, cut Tony off.
Y'all stop me. I'm heading out of the beat. Y'all stop me. I'm gone.
Okay. We want you to stay on the line the next 5 minutes so we can let you get on to the beat. But the bottom line, and I can understand the thinking that Tua can make some throws. He makes some throws as well. But I can go back and point three things in that championship game, the second half, that Alabama could have lost based on players just doing some stuff to make it happen. I don't know whether y'all remember. One play was on that fourth and goal. That ball was not intended for who it was thrown for. It was just thrown away. It's just that player went and got it, Calvin Ridley. The sack he had.
It was thrown in a play.
But the sack that he got up out of, it was a good credit to him making that run and everybody pull up. And then the sack, three plays I just gave to you, the sack that he did have,
it caused Georgia defense not to get in place where they're supposed to be. When they ran it, the safety cheated over Calvin Ridley. That's why the other boy was open. So it's a lot of stuff happened. Who said Taylor could have made that throw if he hadn't had that opportunity? I'm just saying that we can't go back to what happened
Dr.
in
Smith.
The other game.
Dr. Smith.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Smith.
Yeah.
We've had a whole year to see if Jalen can make the throws.
But he made the score.
Okay,
he made the throws that he needed to make together.
Dr. Smith.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Smith.
Uh-huh.
We've had the whole year to see if Jalen can make the throws. The whole year we're
talking
about.
Hold on.
And the point I'm making with that, if it's not with him not making the throw, is him holding the ball too long? It's one of two things. I'm gonna give y'all this. I'm gonna give you this right now. Right now,
right.
You don't have an NFL coordinator right now. Okay,
uh-huh.
You understand that, right? You have a college coordinator. Okay, Tua is an NBA ready quarterback. I mean, an NFL ready quarterback. As far as that offense,
as far as the offense
he was running last year, he can run that more effectively. Because he's a passing quarterback. Now, with Mike
Locklear.
But it's
not a running offense. It's not a passing offense.
He's a passing quarterback at the wrong school.
It had to be a passing offense to work. If you're stopping the run, you got to throw, right? Could he run?
Yeah, but
he's a passing offense when you have to throw. But I'm saying a passing offense is throwing it every down. A passing offense,
right.
A running offense sets up the pass. And the thing about it, that's why I said two. My thing about it, I'd rather have both of them than
have either one.
I'd rather have both of them. And that's the plan.
Go ahead, Darryl.
Let's let Darryl jump in here. Go let him be out of the talk. Yeah, let's go, Darryl.
Darryl is the common denominator. Come on, common denominator. Come on.
at this point, I'm going to take sides because the Huntsville coach online is giving y'all everything that you need, and y'all still trying to deny it. It's like you don't want the nipple. You want the nipple, but you don't want the whole bottle. He gave you the fact behind it, and he is absolutely right. And I need to echo that one time. Did you hear that echo? It's the same thing I'm going to say to y'all that he's already said. So there's no need for me to repeat what he said. Thank you very much.
And that put close to a wrap to everything we're talking about. But we got two more topics we want to talk about, and we're going to kind of get them in the last minute. I know we had extra time. I plan to have extra time with this situation tonight anyway. With the injury of the Big Four for the Warriors, is that good or bad for the Warriors as they get close to the playoff? The injury to Stephen Curry, the injury to Thompson, Green. Is that good as they get ready to go into the playoff? Let's discuss that for about 5 minutes, then we're going to have to call it quits.
Real quick. Only one player out of that whole bunch has an injury that's justified. The rest of them just rested. Because they know here's how it works in that league. Once you establish and know who you got to play, you better have some players that are rested on that lineup, prepared and healthy to go through the stretch. And because Golden State right now would have, even if they got Portland first, they probably got four 7-game series in there, or 2.5 7-game series in there, before they get to Houston. And it's one of those situations now where all of those injuries right there don't get caught up in it whether they hurt or not. Now it's all about the brackets have been set, so it's time to rest and make sure somebody's prepared to go through it all because they are not the number one team. Houston is.
Get some feedback.
I'm done.
All right. Okay then. So Delbert.
I'm with Coach Stallworth right there. It doesn't make a difference. Like he said, only one of them is hurt. All the rest is resting, I feel like the Warriors will repeat. I think they have too much.
Well, Go ahead, Darryl.
It's going to be an easy win for the Warriors. We got it. Go ahead, Coach.
Yeah, all right, that's an easy win for the Warriors. And you know what? We had an awesome show tonight, brothers. I really appreciate y'all coming in. And Coach Starward on his spring break, be jumping and making sure you stop side of the road and call us. We got that. We have that great voice of thought process, and we appreciate the true basketball coach here. He's committed. And Coach Edwards, I appreciate it because your thought is right there in the right place. You got to have that kind of energy. And we hate that Coach Lauren wasn't able to be here tonight, but she looked forward to being next week with us. Coach Darryl, we do appreciate you with your stats and everything because you're the stat man of the century. We can't do without you, my brother. So it was an awesome night. I really enjoy, so I want to let our listeners know that we really enjoy you being here. We had a large number of callers online, and we just hope you would share some thought with us. And our call-in number is 347-857-4192. And we said we look forward to having you next week. Now, I want, before we close it out, our co-host to kind of share some things with them and close it out how you do best.
Coach Albert.
Darryl E.
Go ahead, Darryl.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to be up at 3:20 in the morning. You finna go party. Let me get off. So here's what we're going to do. I just want to tell everybody thank you for being part of the show, and it is always a pleasure to simply talk sports. Thank you, guys.
I sentiment with Darryl, my brother, and I want to tell Coach Edwards that he showed his a little bit unbalanced with that quarterback this way, but it's going to be all right.
Hey.
You always got Darryl to bail your ass out, coach. Anyway, from me to all of you, have a nice day. You take the day, and don't let the day take you.
All right.
We about to scat up out of here, man. I'm going to leave y'all with this one. When you're watching the Final Four this week, the Fantastic Four, like Dr. Smith said, I just want y'all in the back of your head to say, go Ramblers. Go Ramblers. A lot of people don't know who a Rambler is, but when you watch the Final Four this weekend, you will see what the Ramblers are. Y'all have a good night.
That's awesome. And just to kind of conclude this, I want to make mention about our show tomorrow, Talking Real to You, co-hosted by Coach Lauren D. Smith and myself as the host, Dr. Lauren D. Smith. We're on at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And we'll be talking some real talk in regard to what's happening in just plain old life issues. So make sure you tune in tomorrow night and back with us next Wednesday night, and we'll be concluding, wrapping up what was the final and who is the champion, who's the national champion. Again, we thank you for joining us. I want to say to my co-hosts, I thank you all for taking time and sharing that thought. It was energetic tonight. I love you. Be good. Peace to each and every one of you. And I want to end this thing with something real nice and some music that will just take you into the end of the night. And it's called, and my frat brother loved this one, Coach Tony Starward, Game Changer.
A Game Changer.
Never gotta question my love. I ain't never gonna let nothing come between us, my baby. The way I see it, girl, we can rule the world, we can have whatever we want. It's not like you're not worth it, more than deserve it. Girl, when it comes down to love, on the trying to take down everything I would meet. Well, when you came along, baby girl,